T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
A good Wednesday night to you. Welcome into a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next couple hours. We have a full two-hour edition of the program tonight as we take you till 8 o'clock, talking a lot of Cardinals baseball. Cardinals win today. What an emotional roller coaster this three-game series against the Diamondbacks was. What do you think about that first game and the Nolan Gorman walk-off? And then you feel like the team's got some momentum, and maybe that's going to be a galvanizing moment. And yesterday happens, which is one that we don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about. 14-1 loss. And then they come out today and they get down early. Kyle Gibson struggling right in the first inning, gets out of it, giving up just a run. And they end up coming back and winning that game. So I think sometimes, and I'm as much to blame on this as anybody out there. I think sometimes we try to take things that happen in a single game and say that they really are going to impact the following game. Like there's really a domino effect to things. And sometimes there is, sometimes, but a lot of times there's not. And if there was going to be a domino effect to the series, there would have been a big buildup for the Cardinals leading in the second game, and that would have led to a Cardinals win in the second game. Or the Diamondbacks would have built off their 14-run output and put together a really good performance today, and that didn't happen either. So we make too big of a deal of things sometimes, and that's just sort of that's the world we live in sometimes when we're doing sports radio and talking about, you know, every moment, every game, all that sort of stuff. So good win today. Good. At the end of the day, good win. Cardinals win 5-1 over Arizona. They take 2 of 3 from the defending National League champions. They split the season series against Arizona. So all things considered, where this club was at when we all woke up this morning, what happened? Pretty good day. Good to see Kyle Gibson pitch the way that he did. And yeah, good day. We'll talk more about it later on. I always say this on weekday day games. We don't do the extended extra inning show. We do an extra inning show, but it's not like the weeknight games where we take phone calls and text messages and tweets and all that sort of stuff. So I always leave that for Sports Open Line, and we are going to have an opportunity coming up later on in the program for you to call in and give your thoughts on where everything's at. It's a good example, though, of where this fan base in large part is, because when they had that fantastic win with the Nolan Gorman walk-off when I was doing the post-game show, I heard from very few people. We didn't have a whole lot of interaction on that show. Yesterday, it was phone calls and text messages and tweets and everything after a really bad loss. Now, that's going to happen, because when you lose, there tends to be more things to talk about than when you win. But it just goes to show you that I think right now, everybody's kind of on edge when it comes to this Cardinals team because of who they were last year, because of them not getting off to a great start this year. And then when they have a really bad day, like they had yesterday was a really bad day at the office, I think that really starts to trigger a lot of people, and we make more of one single game. And I'm including myself, too, on that. As I kind of rewind and look back at the way I was feeling about last night's game, I was pretty upset about the way they lost that game yesterday. I was, because I was one of those people that thought this team, as they're kind of treading water and looking for a way to truly progress forward and really looking for a way to start to become the version of the team that they want to be this year, that yesterday's performance was a lost opportunity. And it was, because you wanted it to really start a great domino effect. But again, they come back with a win today. If they would have won yesterday and lost today, the attitude would have been very different, because they wouldn't have had this 14-1 loss coming off a great win. And that's just the way baseball is over 162 games. So more on that coming up later on in the program. We've got a lot of guests that are going to be joining us. Earlier in the week, Battlehawks quarterback A.J. McCarron, defensive end Travis Feeney, and wide receiver Darius Shepherd were all at Busch Stadium for Battlehawks night. I got the chance to sit down and talk with all those guys, and we're going to play that conversation for you at about 6:35. Up next, we're going to be joined by Eli Hoff. He is the Mizzou Athletics beat writer for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We're going to get into the hiring of Laird Veach as the new athletic director at Missouri. The name that most commonly came up when the opening first occurred quite some time ago, Laird's name was the first name that I heard mentioned. Coming in from Memphis, a guy who had ties to the University of Missouri, having had two previous stints inside of the athletic department, had done really good work at Memphis, is known for his ability to be a fundraiser, which every athletic department needs to have fundraisers in their athletic department and at the top. That's where we're at right now. When you think about what's going on with facilities and what's going on with NIL and everything else that's going on, you need forward-thinking people that can connect with the business community and fundraise, and that's exactly what this guy is. But it took a little while to get the deal done. Deal does eventually get done. Next hour is our strike zone hour. It'll be nothing but baseball. That's when we're going to take phone calls on where the Cardinals are at. I've got a conversation I've already recorded with Ricky Horton. It's a little bit of a different conversation, not so much about the Cardinals, but this past week has been a really tough week in terms of us losing just greatness from the baseball world. And we spent a lot of time on this show talking about Whitey Herzog, but another local guy in Kenny Holtzman, and also Carl Erskine passed away as well, a guy who was part of those, but part of the Dodgers back in the 50s. And Ricky had connections to really all of them, and we're going to talk with Ricky coming up later on in the program and just get his thoughts on the losses that we have had from the game of baseball in the last week or so. So big show, fun show. Jam-packed show. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be joined by Eli Hoff. Again, he covers Missouri Athletics for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. If you want to chime in on anything, you can text or tweet. You text in at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, and we'll continue on with the Graybar Sports Open Line in just a moment here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We continue on with you. Earlier this week, the announcement was made by Missouri Athletics. They have a new athletic director in Laird Veach, as they had an opening for quite some time. When the opening first came available, his name was one of the first names that we heard. It was a process, but eventually the process gets worked out, and we're very happy to be able to welcome on to the program someone who covers Missouri athletics for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You follow him on Twitter at @ElyHoff. He is Eli Hoff. Eli, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Of course, doing well. Doing well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well as well. So what was your initial reaction to this? Because it felt like he was always sort of the logical candidate for this job.
Yeah, I mean, like you said in the intro there, he's someone who right when this job opened, we kind of looked at it and said, you know, oh, he makes sense. He was in the mix in 2021 when Mizzou ultimately hired Desiree Reed-Francois. So he's even familiar as a candidate, has experience working at Mizzou, has experience as an athletic director at Memphis. He brings the fundraising skill set. He brings, you know, he's progressive in the NIL space. So it's a hire that makes a lot of sense for Mizzou and provides what they need at the time they need it. So I think it's a timely hire in that sense as well. And, you know, it took 9 weeks to get to this point, but I think it's one where a lot of folks, when this process started, you know, would have been happy with this result when we were talking about this back in February.
I guess it really doesn't matter at this point, but why did it take so long?
Well, it's one of those things where because Reed-Francois' departure came really out of nowhere from an administration standpoint. It took them a couple weeks to get things settled in terms of, all right, we want to go the search committee route. We want to hire a search firm and do some of that. That took a couple weeks just to get off the ground. And then from there, they knew they wanted to be patient with this approach. With AD searches, it's one of those things where there's sometimes an advantage to be gained from making an almost instantaneous hire of getting somebody within the week. Once you get past that point, there's not really a huge difference between if this happened at the 4 week mark versus the 8 week mark versus this week. You know, that doesn't really matter too much. They still got the stadium project proposed. All of that went on fine. So I think they reached a point where they just decided to sit back and wait until they felt comfortable with who they had. And on Laird Veach's end, you know, he still had some business. I think he wanted to you know, put a bow on at Memphis. They had a $25 million NIL deal come in last week with FedEx. That's, you know, one of the biggest contributions for a school of that size in the country. And so I think that's something that maybe he even wanted to wrap up before he locked things down with Mizzou. So a few different reasons, but nine weeks is the end tally on how long the search was.
There's a lot going on at Missouri right now. There's a lot going on in college athletics. You talk about NIL and rules are changing seemingly on an every week basis. And then you also have a Missouri athletic department that very much is committed to making sure that their facilities fit inside of the SEC. There's a stadium project that was just recently announced. Is this the right guy to step in and continue forward with all these projects and all these big aspirations that this athletic department has?
I think when you look at it from a fundraising standpoint, it certainly is, because that's what that stadium project in particular needs a lot of help with, is fundraising. About half of the $250 million price tag has to come from donations, and $50 million came from that anonymous contribution that came in a couple months ago. There's still $75 million left to raise on this project, and Mizzou needs somebody who can do that. And that's Laird Veach's MO. That's his background. That's what he was doing for Mizzou 2 decades ago when he worked in this athletic department. So that's something that he can immediately jump right in on and help with. That's part of his contract. The details came out today. There's incentives in there if he hits fundraising goals. So I think that's priority number one for him. And priority number two is supporting Eli Drinkwitz in the football program. You know, that's going to be a little bit easier for Veach, just because of what Eli Drinkwitz has established. You can probably be sort of hands off and let him do his thing, and that'll work out pretty well. But fundraising is just, you know, that's going to be the day one priority once he gets settled here in about a week.
If Missouri football continues to have seasons even close to what they had this past year, there's going to be teams and schools that are going to be coming after Drinkwitz. How important is it? Is it a big part of Laird's job to do everything he can to make sure that Drinkwitz does stick around?
I think so to a degree, and that's also partially the Board of Curators' job, and that's something they did this offseason when they gave him his most recent contract extension. You know, I think there was a very real feeling for the curators that if they didn't give Eli Drinkwitz that deal, that there might be a scenario in which he walks away for a better offer, a better opportunity. You know, where or what that might have been, we don't know. But there seemed to be some urgency with getting him this latest deal. And so I think that will be part of it, having an athletic director who will advocate for Coach Drink and advocate for the football program at large, making sure they have what they need from a facility standpoint, from a funding standpoint, getting money for assistant coaches and all of that as well.
We're continuing to talk with Eli Hoff, covers Missouri Athletics for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We spent so much time talking about his ability to be a fundraiser, but as an AD, it's got to be more than that. You're leading a large staff. You're hiring coaches. You're making tough decisions on coaches. He obviously has been an AD, so he's been doing all that sort of stuff, but do you feel like he's somebody that does he have a good reputation in those non-financial related areas?
Yeah, he absolutely does. One of the things I've been talking this week to folks who've worked with him in the past, one of the things that they're really quick to bring up is his ability to just relate and be present with everyone he works with. And he's got experience across a lot of different departments. He's worked in the fundraising side. He's worked in kind of the media rights and media licensing side, which is obviously a big part of the college sports business now. He has good relationships with coaches at the different stops he's been in. So I think all of that kind of comes together to make him an asset in that regard as well. You know, now only time will tell, and there will always be questions over, you know, how much he wants to bring people in from Memphis or some of his past stops and who some of the personnel component, how that'll shake out. But the early reaction seems to be that a lot of folks are just excited to have him back at Mizzou and be working with him in a week or two here.
Yeah, it's his third stint. He worked, I believe, as an associate athletic director, and he also worked inside of Learfield with Missouri Sports Property. So that alludes to what you were talking about a moment ago. He comes in with a lot of experience inside of that athletic department. He's worked in you know, the southern part of the country. He's worked in the Big 12 conference previously. He's a Big 12 guy, being a K-State alum. It feels like all these things check a lot of boxes that Missouri had to be looking for.
Oh, it definitely does. And he has, you know, the past MU experience, which is a box to check off. You know, he really worked his way up through Kansas State, which is his alma mater, spent a lot of time there, and then went to be the number two in the athletic department at Florida. So he has that SEC experience as well. And then just the way he leveraged the opportunity at Memphis, I think, is something that stands out. He was aggressive there at a school of that size. And you know, I think folks in the St. Louis area, you know, are a little closer to the Memphis area than those in Columbia, so they might be more aware of it. But there's been some good things coming out of that football program recently. And I think anyone who saw them play in that game at the Dome in the fall can attest that that's a competitive football program that he helped put together there by making that coaching hire. So All of that experience comes together to make him an attractive candidate for this job.
This Memorial Stadium, the improvement plan that they've put together to redesign this, the Froh Field and that stadium, it's gone through a number of things over the last few years, and this is just another one. The renderings of it look absolutely awesome. How important is it that they go find the funding and they do get this thing done?
I mean, it's vital that they get that across the line. You know, the renderings are out there, the plans out there. They're planning to go through with it. So it's just about getting the money to be able to follow through with that. And I think a big part of it, too, will just be making sure that this gets done on time. You know, they want it to be ready for the 2026 football season and for it to not have negative impacts on the fan experience during the 24 or 25 season. So that's a pretty aggressive time frame. You know, they're not doing anything too structurally crazy. It's not like, you know, a whole bunch has to be torn down and ripped out and all of that. So that process should be fine. But, you know, getting that up and running as soon as possible is obviously going to be a good thing. And it's going to help from a revenue generation standpoint, too. There'll be some year-round event spaces in there that the university hopes can kind of recoup some of the money being spent on this project. So for that reason, they're going to want that to be available as a moneymaker as soon as possible, if nothing else.
He is Eli Hoff. He covers Missouri Athletics, does a fantastic job doing it for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You follow him on Twitter at @ElyHoff. Eli, thank you so much for taking some time and giving us your insight. We really do appreciate it.
Of course, always a pleasure.
Very good. There's Eli Hoff joining us here on the program, talking through the new Missouri Athletic Director, Laird Veach. And hopefully it works out well. I am a proud alum of Kansas State University, so I can speak to, you know, when you go hire K-State people, it generally works out well for you. So I'm sure that Laird is just going to do a fantastic job because he's got that that K-State acumen coming in. I say with not tongue in cheek, just, you know, having fun with it. Up next, earlier this week, I got the chance to talk with a few Battlehawks, AJ McCarron, Travis Feeney, Darius Shepherd. They were all at Busch Stadium, and we sat down and chatted for a while. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. This is quite a treat. We are joined right now by a trio of Battlehawks players, quarterback A.J. McCarron, also Darius Shepherd, and Travis Feeney. They're all with us. We're recording this on Battlehawks night at Busch Stadium. Fellas, it's great to see all of you. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks for having us.
Now, A.J. got to throw out the first pitch. Was that an issue with either of you guys? Did you want to have that opportunity?
He's the former pitcher, man, so he handled it really well.
Yeah, man, he did a good job.
AJ. I appreciate the fellas letting me do it. I was, not going to lie, nervous as hell. Thought about knees getting weak and passing out for a minute. So I told him if I passed out, just drag me off.
I don't know if it was a strike, but it looked like it had solid velo.
Yeah, it might have been a little inside for a lefty, but, don't crowd the plate.
Now, I was given a hint to ask you what Coach Saban said to you to get you to not play baseball.
Well, so I won the backup job my freshman year early into the season, and going into that spring, told him, hey, I was heading out to go play baseball like we had originally agreed upon. And then he closed his door and told me, asked if I wanted to play quarterback next year. And I said, yeah, that was the plan. And he said, well, you're not playing baseball anymore. And so he opened the door and I left.
not much of a conversation.
Yeah,
there, huh?
that's how the baseball career ended.
All right. Very good. So obviously you played Alabama. Darius, can we call North Dakota State the Alabama of FCS football? Does that work for you?
It's something like that.
Yeah. That's an incredible program for what they have done. I'm a K-State guy, so Coach Kleiman is at K-State now. Mm-hmm. He's a former guy there. And I mean, it doesn't matter who the head coach is there. That program is just rolling.
Yeah, it keeps running. A lot of good people over there, and I really appreciate Coach Kleiman. He's actually a huge Cardinals fan.
So really?
Yeah, I'm sure he's tuned in tonight.
Okay, well, Coach Kleiman, if you're ever here, find me. I'm a K-State guy. We'd love to talk to you a little bit. Fellas, I ask all you this. The Battlehawks experience and the fan support and the fervor in this city, what is it like being a part of this team?
It's amazing. I mean, the fan love that they give and the engagement that they give is just like no other. Like I said, it reminds me of being back in college, like how much they love us, get to know us. I mean, guys message me all the time, DM me all the time, and I message back and talk to them all the time. I mean, I have my own little Feeney group, and it's cool. It's just fun to have. It's just fun to entertain and fun to interact with them.
Darius, same thing for you?
Yeah, I couldn't ask for more. It's been a special experience being out here in St. Louis playing, and a full circle moment for me. I played my state championship game, my last game of high school, in the Edward Jones or the Dome.
Okay.
Yeah, so coming back here now professionally, it's been awesome having family around and getting to experience again in the city of St. Louis.
Does the Dome still kind of look the same?
It does. Yeah. It does, but it's all good. It's still cool.
Yeah, I was there this past Saturday. It was the first Battlehawks game I'd gone to, and I'd gone to Rams games all the time. And you walk in, and you start having all these flashbacks and memories to things that happened there before. AJ, we had you on the pregame show for Cardinals earlier in this week, but not everybody heard that. I mean, you made the specific request that if you were going to come back to the league this year, that you were going to be in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, the city is taking myself and my family in with open arms, and just the passion they have here, the excitement around the sports in general, but especially the game of football, is something that's unmatched, especially for the UFL League. And it's just a special place to play.
The setup for the league is you guys are not in St. Louis during the week, and then you travel in. That's probably different than anything any of you guys have experienced for. What are the challenges in that?
I think the challenges is just like, every game is almost like an away game, even when you're at home, because you got to travel. So, I mean, you still got that away vibe of traveling on the airplane and just doing the same thing that the other team's doing. It's no different, you know, so that's what it is for me.
Yeah, I would say the recovery piece is definitely a factor, you know, constantly traveling every week, but also getting immersed in the community. You know, when you're able to be in a city, you get to be around the people and you get to see what's going on and feel more of the love. But thankfully, we have such a great fan base with the Battlehawks where – it's nice we get to show up every week or for home games at least, and you know we're welcomed every time we're here.
And AJ, moments like these here to what's being spoken about, it's you guys are so warmly accepted. It's I can't go anywhere on an everyday basis without seeing people wearing Battlehawk stuff. It's very cool.
No, it is. I mean, when they introduced all three of us just a minute ago by home plate, it's just hearing the applause from the crowd is pretty special. Mm-hmm. I mean, to come to another professional sports game and be introduced and hear the crowd cheer when they introduce us is, like I said, it makes this city and it lets you know how special this city is.
What does this league do for you guys just in terms of you want to do more, you want to pursue bigger things and everything, and obviously this is a really good place to be, but the track record of this, you know, going back to the XFL and even the Battlehawks, the track record of sending players to the NFL, back to the NFL, it's pretty impressive. So I got to think for all you guys, that's something that's in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you play, you're not playing just to keep playing. You're playing to get an opportunity at the end of the day. I mean, you have one dream, one goal. I mean, definitely being on this team, I feel like it's the best opportunity for that. And as long as we keep winning, it's going to give you the best opportunity.
AJ, what's you've obviously had a lot of NFL time. You were just with an NFL team. What can, and I'm just speaking for quarterbacks in general, because if you're a backup quarterback or a third-string quarterback in the NFL, you get some time in the preseason, maybe something happens in season, but what kind of benefit can this be to all quarterbacks who get the opportunity to be in this league just to get some reps?
Yeah, I mean, and it's not only just for quarterbacks. I think it's this league has a great opportunity to showcase guys. The more money that comes in for this league is more of an opportunity to go out and get guys that are stashed on practice squads, or, you know, on teams around the NFL. Guys that have maybe fallen through the cracks coming out of college and, you know, didn't get seen enough during preseason or at the combine or whatever. So I think this league has a great opportunity and a great duty to, you know, serve those guys, to give them a chance to, you know, be seen by more people and then end up with their ultimate goal of reaching the NFL.
Playing in the dome, it still gets really loud in there. Obviously, that can impact things defensively when you're you mess with an all. We saw that a little bit against Memphis this past weekend. Offensively, it riles guys up. What kind of impact are the fans having on this team right now?
Yeah, they're making an impact every week. Like you said, you know, we had a couple penalties in the last game just because of their presence. And, you know, I was talking about when we were back in Dallas, all the guys who are around from other teams, when we get around them, they're so jealous of the fact we get to play in St. Louis. They all want to be here, but they don't understand, you know, the disadvantage that they're at walking into the stadium. So we definitely appreciate, you know, the rowdiness that they bring.
When Memphis had a defensive play, they all ran to the camera and kind of were, you know, hamming it up. And I was, that's not a good idea for them to do that. That got the fans going that much more.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you want to talk smack to our fan base, it's always a positive for us. So we're very thankful for this fan base. And we want to continue to get more and more people inside the dome to make it even louder.
The UFL championship game is going to be in St. Louis no matter what. How often do you guys talk about that, about possibly having a home game if you can get to the championship game?
I don't think we talk about it personally a lot. I mean, we're really focused week by week. But, I mean, obviously it's in our heads. I mean, it's in everybody's heads. Like, that's what they want to do. That's what we want to get to for the fans and for us as a team. But it's not talked about every day.
I talked with AJ earlier, and he grew up as a Braves fan. Were you guys baseball fans growing up?
Yep.
Okay, so which teams were?
Giants fan.
You were a Giants fan? And were you a Cardinals fan?
I was a Royals and Cardinals. Okay, I got some ties out here, so I've been to some Cardinals games growing up, but Royals for sure.
Okay, very good. Well, guys, this is a lot of fun. We've been talking with Battlehawks quarterback AJ McCarron, in addition to Darius Shepherd, wide receiver, and Travis Feeney, linebacker for the Battlehawks. Thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
That was a fun conversation. Got to have earlier this week. They were all out at Busch Stadium for Battlehawks Night, where AJ, who's played a little baseball, he threw out the first pitch, and the guys were flanked right next to him. And it's just like I mentioned to it, I had maybe I should not be admitting this on the air, considering the fact that I host this show, but I had not been able to get to a Battlehawks game in my time here, and I finally went this past weekend. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Like I said to them, as somebody who went to a lot of Rams games growing up. The dome doesn't look that different from when the Rams were playing. Maybe it doesn't look different at all. And just for those memories to flood back were fun. And then pretty good brand of football. And that place still got loud. It wasn't a huge crowd this past weekend. They announced just over 30,000. So it was one of their smaller crowds. Still the biggest crowd easily in that league. A little bit of a smaller crowd. They were playing at the exact same time as the Cardinals, so that was going to be tough for them. But yeah, that was fun. That was, if you have not gone, I would encourage you to do so because it's a good time in the dome. Good family environment as well. Sometimes with in the NFL, that's not, depending on where you go, that's not always the most family friendly environment. Chris and Amy were actually talking about this. Might have been today that they were talking about it. Yesterday, they were talking about how when you go to Cardinals games, when you go to Blues games, you see a lot of families. And when you go to other cities and other, because Amy was specifically talking about going to one of the Stanley Cup final games when the Blues played Boston, and how in Boston, it was just a lot of dudes there, like 25 to 40 year old dudes. And here in St. Louis, there's a lot of things that are family friendly. And while the NFL might have some issues when it comes to the family-friendly nature of a lot of fans in different markets across the area, if you're worried about taking your family to a football game because of that, I would tell you that a Battlehawks game is a good way to go. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into the decision to send Jordan Walker to AAA. Was this a good decision? We'll talk about it coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Cardinals pitcher John King, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
John King is back. He was part of the transaction earlier today as the Cardinals announced that both Zach Thompson and Jordan Walker were going to AAA. Jose Fermin back with the club. He was with the club last year, had a very good spring, was really swinging it at Memphis this year. And then John King back onto the roster as well. Welcome back in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. I've been a little bit surprised at the reaction to the Jordan Walker move earlier today. Because to me, this guy was just not finding it at the big league level. And I do, it's the same, but it's different conversation that we had with Victor Scott. Because I think Victor Scott was overmatched at the big league level. We've seen Walker have success in the major league, so we know he can do it. So that's the difference in comparing the two. But where they're similar is the fact that you got a guy who is still pretty young and a guy who is really struggling at the plate, who they're working with him on a number of things to fix the swing, and it's just not happening. So the plan for Walker is he's going to AAA. You know, he had played yesterday but hadn't played for a couple days before that. He's going to go to AAA. They're going to work on him with some things. He's not going to be in the lineup. He's not going to face live pitching. They're just going to work on some things with his swing for 2-3 days, and then they're going to hope that those few days of not seeing live pitching where you just kind of revert back to what you're used to, that will allow him to start implementing the changes and going from there. So what has surprised me a little bit has been the reaction. Because there are a fair amount of people who think that this is the right decision to be made, that sending him down, getting a little bit of pressure off of him, getting in that, you know, not quite the pressure cooker environment that is the big league club, going and putting him in that spot for a little while as they did last year, could allow him to work on some things and perfect some things and fine-tune some things and be in a better spot. To me, I would agree with that. I'm concerned about Jordan Walker for the 2024 Cardinals in the sense that he's a big part of this team getting to where they want to go. But I am more worried about Jordan Walker and how he impacts the 2025 Cardinals and the 2026 Cardinals and the 2027 Cardinals, and so on and so forth. I am more concerned at this point in him developing into the guy that everybody thought he was going to be when he was one of the top prospects in all of baseball. So just having him, just throwing him out in right field every day and trying to get him to work through whatever issues he might have in this high-pressure situation, I don't really think that that's the best plan for him. Because if you're not seeing him implementing any of the things that you're working on with him inside of games because of the pitching that he's facing, is he really getting better? Is he really being given up the opportunity to fix the problems that are going on? Now, there is the whole other conversation of why does he have these problems in the first place? There's a lot of people who have very quickly wanted to be critical of the Cardinals as an organization in their ability to develop high-end talent. And there's a case to be made there. The Cardinals do not have a fantastic track record here in recent years when it comes to producing high-level talent. I think that's more true about pitching than position players. But when you think about developing power-hitting, consistent power-hitting young players, you just really haven't seen that from the Cardinals. Thought that Nolan Gorman might be that guy. I still think he can be, but he's obviously gotten to a little bit of a slow start to the year. We're just waiting for one of those players that the Cardinals has developed to turn into a year-over-year, high-level, big-time, power-hitting player. And they've had a hard time developing that. Those guys don't grow on trees either. Like I say that like anybody can do it. You can just go pluck a guy and it just works out. It's a tough thing to do. It is. It's a tough thing to do. But the Cardinals are at a place right now where I think they've said it themselves. And again, this is more about pitching than hitting, but they have looked at the way they evaluate players and the way they move forward with players. So the Walker thing is interesting because we'll see what this turns into here moving forward. If you've got thoughts on it, we'll be taking your calls on the Cardinals in our next segment after the 7 o'clock news. Welcoming those calls at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900 here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.